If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 9. We're going to look at a very familiar piece of scripture, but it is so precious. Chapter 9, verse 6. We'll go ahead and read it. It says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." I've titled this message, "The Church's Joy in Christ." The word says that, "For unto us a child is born." We have here the incarnation of God. He is the perfect God, and he is the perfect man. And we ask, well, how can that happen? Well, the Bible says that anything is possible with God. If you hold your place here, if you turn to the first chapter of the book of Matthew, first chapter of the book of Matthew. Beginning in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet," and that's in Isaiah, "saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." If we go back to our text, Paul calls it a great mystery. And when you think about it, God was manifested in the flesh. Considering who he is and who we are, he was manifested in the flesh. And Paul gives some light on that. He tells us how it was done. Timothy, if you will, turn to Timothy 3:16. Timothy 3:16. God's word says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We'll go back to our text now. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And he's talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord, here. Before the foundation of the world, the Father placed the people in Christ. And Christ had to come to the world to pay for their sins. But it was an unspeakable gift. It says in our text, it says, for unto us a son is given. It don't say that a son is born. Christ Jesus our Lord, there never was a time when he was not. There never will be a time when he will not be. For he is Almighty God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was born a child in human nature, in human form. He grew from a young child, just like we do, into a young son, into a teenager. And finally he grew into a man, and he lived like any other man for most of his life. And like we all are in this world, he was tried, he was tempted, he was tested, in all points as a man, but yet without sin. He had no sin whatsoever, inward or outward. He was perfect. And he come for, as I said, he come for the purpose, and that purpose was to save his people from their sins. And as the Son of God, he was given. Jesus Christ is not only man and called the Son of Man, but he is God and the Son of God. The Son of God can have no human father, but is conceived by the Holy Spirit. For God's elect, being in Christ, Jesus, he is our Lord. Being in Christ, his perfect obedience to the Father is our righteousness. He is our Redeemer. He is our Mediator. And he is our hope of glory. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, salvation is not of works, but it is all of grace. In Christ Jesus, he died for the elect. A lot of people in this world, they believe in universal salvation, but the Bible plainly says that he died for those that the Father had placed in him before the foundation of the world. In Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In Hebrews 2, speaking of the elect, being in Christ, in Hebrews 2, verses 11 through 13, God's word says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, all are of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Think about that. The Almighty God, not ashamed to call us brethren. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, being found in Christ, have an eternal union with him, we have all things and all spiritual blessings. I thank the Lord for that. If you will, turn to John 17. John chapter 17. Verses 21 through 24, chapter 17. Sometimes I have a tendency to forget what a blessing it is to be chosen of God, to be one of His elect. It says in verse 21, speaking of the elect, listen to this, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, he's speaking of the elect, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Go back to your text, Isaiah 6, chapter 9. Says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Christ said in Matthew, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Even though all power is given unto him in heaven and earth, he was obedient unto the Father, and because of the love that he had for those that the Father had placed in him, he was willing to come to this earth and to suffer and die and to bleed for us. Look at Isaiah 53, if you would. We're talking about the Son here. Isaiah 53. Beginning in verse 1. God's word says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. Speaking of our Lord, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah calls him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The mighty God of heaven and earth. Yet God's word says the government shall be upon his shoulder. That means that he has absolute control over all things. Nothing happens without his permissive will. It says in verse 7 of the next chapter over, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I can't fathom that. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. His kingdom will know no end. His dominion shall be from everlasting to everlasting. What does the Father say about his Son? Turn to Philippians, if you would, please. Philippians 2. This is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue, doesn't leave anybody out, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God, the Father. Turn over a page and look at Colossians 1. A couple pages. Chapter verse 16. Speaking of the Son, it says, by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and it is by him that all things consist. And he is ahead of the church, of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Listen to this, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him shall all fullness dwell. The God-man Jesus Christ, our Lord, is 100% man, 100% God. You know, there are things in God's word that a child of God may not understand. I had a preacher tell me that one time, gray-headed preacher, a very smart man. He said, you know, there's plenty of things in this Bible that I do not understand. And I'm right there with him. But for the child of God, there's not anything that we don't believe. For we know that it is absolute truth. Anything that we learn it by revelation from God. He opens it up to us and shows it to us. As God's people, we have a deep desire to know him. We all have a deep desire to know him. Two verses in God's word comes to my mind. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 7, he says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then in Jeremiah 29:13, think about it. And he said, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. A good example of this is whenever our Lord asked Simon Peter, when he's talking about to understand the scriptures and for him to open up the scriptures to us, it has to be by revelation. The Spirit of God opens it up to us. He asked Peter, Simon Peter one time, he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did our God say? Our Lord say, he said, flesh and blood didn't show this to you. It didn't reveal it unto you. But my Father which is in heaven, he revealed it to you. And I thank him for that. He is never far away. We go back to our text in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. and his name shall be called Wonderful. Christ Jesus is wonderful. He's precious. He's wonderful in his eternality. If you will, just for a second, look at keep your place here and look at Proverbs 8. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, the Bible tells us to keep our mind on things above, not on things of this world. He's always there. He's always close. He's always near. He's always there. I thank him for that. This here is talking about Christ. Verse 24. It is said of wisdom. But what is wisdom? Christ is wisdom. Verse 24 of chapter 8, book of Proverbs. It says, when there were no deaths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the depth, deep. When he gave to the sea her his degree, what the water should not pass, that the water should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the fountains of the earth, when I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing all together before him. His name is wonderful. He's wonderful in his person. He's wonderful in his love. He's wonderful in his holy life. He's wonderful in his substitutionary death for his elect. He's wonderful in his resurrection. He's wonderful in his ascension. He's wonderful in his exaltation at the right hand of God. He's sitting there making intercession for us. Not only was he wonderful and perfect and sinless in everything he did as the God-man, he was in absolute control of everything that happened to him while he was here on this earth. And that is one thing that astonishes me, at the suffering that he went through at the hands of the Romans and the Jewish leaders put him there. And they placed him, nailed him, placed him on that cross, and he hung there for 9 hours. He could have asked for thousands of angels to come and get him at any time. And yet he endured the shame of the cross. He was completely obedient unto the Father because he loved the Father and he loved those whom the Father had placed in him. Go back to our text. It says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. Christ is God's counselor. In creation, God said, let us make man. Who do you think he was talking to? He was talking to the Son. When God established an everlasting covenant of grace, who did he establish it with? His Son. Who was the surety? His Son. But foundation of that surety, what was it? It was the blood of his Son. And I thank God for that. The will, the way, and the purpose of God are all found in Christ. He is both the wisdom and the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And if we are in Christ, who of God has given unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. As his people, we are to follow Christ. We are to seek him, to know him, to look to him. He is our Lord. He is our Savior, our Mediator, our King, our Strength. He is our Rock. And the most precious one of the most precious things about that to me, he is always there. He don't never take a holiday. And then it says that back in our text here, it says that Jesus Christ is our counselor. Christ Jesus said, peace I leave with you. He's not only the counselor of the Father, but he's our counselor. And sometimes we get aggravated and we get worried and we get upset. And but he says, sharing peace I leave with you. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Even in Philippians 4:6, God's word says, be anxious. He says be careful, but the word means anxious. He says be anxious for nothing, but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We'll go back to our text. He speaks here of counseling, then he says to mighty God, every attribute of deity is found in our Lord. Some of them, and I won't go into them, but it's love, loving kindness, mercy, grace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, power, holiness, immutability, sovereignty, knowledge over all things, and the list could go on and on. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. And back in Isaiah 9:6, the prophet says that his name is the Everlasting Father. No man can explain the Trinity. We can only believe it, because God's word is absolute truth. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And there's many places in the Bible that speaks of the Trinity. At Jesus' baptism, it says, when Jesus, whenever he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. And the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then Christ said of his disciples over in the book of Matthew, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A man would be foolish to deny, to cry, to explain, or deny the Trinity. Christ is said to be the Father. Christ is said to be equal, and he is. Christ is equal with the Father. When they come to the garden to arrest Jesus Christ, the Lord asked him and said, who seek ye? And they answered and said, Jesus of Nazareth. And our Lord said, I am he. And whenever he said that, they went backward and they fell to the ground. On many occasions, our Lord Jesus uses these words, I am. How is he then, in our text, called the Everlasting Father? Paul sheds some light on this if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look at verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And look at 49. And as we have bore the image of the earthly, speaking of his elect, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Jesus Christ is a federal head of a redeemed race. He is our everlasting Father in that he is our life giver. How is he life giver? He gave us his blood. Being born again, being redeemed by the blood of Christ, he is the Father of a redeemed people. He is now our federal head. And Adam, who was our federal head, we all died. But in Christ, for God's elect, we live. Christ Jesus is the gospel. We read our text one more time. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Why is he called the Prince of Peace? Because peace, he brought peace with his blood between God and the sinner. He brought peace between the Jew and the Gentile. He is the giver of peace, and that peace is forever. He is truly our prophet, our priest, and our king. And being born again, being one of his elect, you know, when we read the word, it's him talking to us. When we talk to him, we pray. That's something that I'm guilty of, is not praying the way that I should. But he says for us to keep our mind on things above and not on things of this world, for we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Now that's something to meditate on and to think about. Thank you. You're dismissed.